Fewer murders were committed in the country last year than the year before. Violent crime of all types was down as well. That's the news from the FBI. Yesterday, the FBI released preliminary data from its annual report on crime in America. But the good news does not apply everywhere. Some cities, Cleveland, Ohio, Tucson, Arizona, saw an increase in their murder rates. Here to tell us more about what these numbers mean is James Allen Fox, Lippman Professor of Criminal Justice at Northeastern University in Boston. Nice of you to join us today.
My pleasure.
Murder is down, I guess, for the first time since 1999, according to these statistics. Is that significant?
Well, it's significant in that there are reasons why murder could have been upward in trend. There are several problems we're facing in this country right now, an expanding at-risk population of youth, an economy that's struggling in many parts of the country, and criminal justice budgets that have been slashed. So it's good news that crime did not go up.
Mm-hmm.
The decline was relatively small, and what we've basically seen in the last 4 years is a fairly level trend in terms of homicide.
But given those other numbers that you mentioned in terms of increased number of at-risk youth, people would have thought it would have gone up.
Right. So in a sense, no news is good news here, the fact that there was not an increase. Now, it's important that we not rest on our laurels here and say, gee, given all the difficult conditions, crime still is going down. It will not go down forever, and the decline was relatively small. If we continue to slash budgets for prevention programs, everything from athletic leagues to after-school programs, we could face, indeed, increases in the years ahead. So let's not get complacent.
Of course not. But to what do you attribute this somewhat surprising number?
Well, it's only a few percentage point decline, for example, in homicide. And there are some reasons why it may be happening. The other end of the demographic spectrum is that the largest growing segment of our population are the seniors. Almost a third of the population are over 50 years old, and the aging baby boomers aren't babies anymore, and they're doing their part to bring down the crime rate, if only by getting older, and certainly not very violent. We're also sending more and more people to prison. That is not necessarily the best strategy and most cost-effective strategy for fighting crime, but at least it works. The offenders behind bars aren't committing crimes on the streets, although I do believe that some of those funds, significant funds we spend on corrections, could be reinvested in crime prevention programs. And we continue to see the spread of community policing across America, which has certainly paid off.
We're talking with Jamie Fox at Northeastern University about the FBI's report of declining violent crime statistics. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. The other aspect of this is that, of course, there are all kinds of regional variations. The decline in the murder rate, for example, could be explained just by looking at the city of Chicago.
Right. Chicago did have a very good year. And other cities had bad years. And that part of the problem is if you spend too much time focusing on year-to-year changes, you can be seriously misled. Sometimes crimes go down in a city because the previous year was unusually high, and sometimes crime rates can go up because the previous year was unusually low. In the same way that economists will not focus too much on day-to-day changes in the stock market rather than look at the long-term trends,
mm-hmm.
The same thing holds for crime statistics. In the long term, we're pretty well off. Some cities, yes, are seeing an increase, but at least in terms of homicide, for example, part of that can just be bad luck. That is, more victims last year happened to not survive an assault and became a homicide victim, as opposed to a previous year where a comparable victim maybe was saved by emergency personnel and became an assault victim.
Yeah.
So let's not focus too much on the year-to-year changes in cities like Cleveland and Tucson, but on the long term, that is, things are pretty good. The conditions exist that could make matters worse, and we have to roll up our sleeves and continue to face, to focus on ordinary street crime in the same way that we're focusing on terrorism. Unfortunately, a lot of the funds, crime-fighting funds, have been diverted to Homeland Security, and I'm not saying Homeland Security is not important, but let's not forget the day-to-day street crime that victimizes thousands of people every day.
Mm-hmm. One thing, one factor that some people pointed to was increased indications of gang activity, and when you get gang activity, you often get gang conflict, and that can increase your murder rate rather quickly.
And that's happened in L.A., and it's happened in Boston, and it's happened in some other cities as well. You know, a lot of police departments thought that the gang problem sort of disappeared. The gang problem was huge in the late 80s, early 90s. Many cities invested funds in anti-gang initiatives, and they paid off. But you don't eliminate gangs, you only control them. And if you stop paying attention to them, like many cities have, they can reemerge. Plus, we have lots of young kids today who are joining gangs, seeing it as very exciting and perhaps profitable, and they feel special by joining a gang, and they're too young to know what it was like 15 years ago when joining a gang could mean an early grave. So gang activity has increased in many cities, and this is an area we need to spend particular attention.
We've been talking primarily about homicide rates, but violent crime rates, and that includes a large number of other crimes as well, they've been going down rather steadily.
Yes, they have. Of course, homicide is the one we focus on most, not just because it's the most severe type of victimization, but it's also the most reliable. When you look at rape statistics, for example, an increase in the rape rate could mean that there are more sexual assaults, or it could mean that more victims of sexual assault feel comfortable enough to report that crime to the police. Certain crimes like aggravated assault, most of those aren't severe. Most aggravated assaults don't involve any injury at all, and some of the variation from year to year and place to place can just be a matter of recording practices. So we tend to focus on robbery and homicide as the most reliable barometers of the way things are going in terms of crime in this country.
Crime statistics are often exploited for political purposes. If it goes up, opponents say, hey, let the crime rate go up. If it goes down, somebody takes credit for it. How are these numbers compiled, and are they considered credible?
Well, they're compiled by a local police department sending statistics either to a state agency, which forwards them on to the FBI, or directly to the FBI, and they're published, of course, every year. Yes, they have been used as political weapons. When crime rates go down and politicians, police chiefs like to take credit, oftentimes they're taking more credit than they deserve. Yes, there is some role that local activities and police activities have, but there are many factors that have nothing to do with these initiatives. And when crime rates go up, they oftentimes take too much of the heat, too much of the blame. So I think that crime statistics are useful in gauging where we're going in this country. Let's not focus too much on the year-to-year changes because you can be seriously misled. And understand that there are many reasons for increases and decreases in crime, not just what the police do and not just what the prisons do.
Jamie Foxx, thanks very much.
My pleasure.
James Allen Foxx, Lipman Professor of Criminal Justice at Northeastern University, and he spoke to us from his office in Boston. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan.